Blog Talk Radio.
Just a day to give you glory. So while the faith
My wife and I going through some things last night. We didn't get that much sleep, and we had to deal with these matters today. And we did take a nap, came on, and I thought it was 4 o'clock. It was 5. And then something told me, look at your clock, and it was 6, and I'm sorry about that. But nevertheless, she got to drive in the morning, going to Illinois for some personal business. So I was somewhat tired for my apartment. My apologies again. All right. So, be that as it may, we are still studying. And may the Most High bless each of you. And what we're studying is basically on a Real Talk for Real People show. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And we study as people also. We study strangers, people of different names. We try to get a full gamut of what's really going on as far as people are concerned, especially the Most High people. And which is us, truth be told. That's why we have been reduced to a monstrosity, because we fail to acknowledge the code and we fail to execute the code. Therefore, the only outcome for us would be a monstrosity, unfortunately. But it can get better if we only choose to acknowledge who our Elohim is and exercise the code. It's just that simple. It's not that difficult. So we study in the book of Yeshayahu today. Final story tonight, and is Yah's blessing on us. Yah's blessing on us, chapter 44. Also, the first segment of study is 2 Samuel, and it is talking about Absalom's murder of his brother Amnon because of some action, some despicable action he foretook of. But the Most High said that the king, darling, that all the trouble would come from his household because of the result of his action with Bathsheba and Uriah and so on and so forth. So these things that are about to transpire is a result of King Dawid's lack of codification. And if you think about it for one moment, the things we are going through, that's why we had to get our fundamentals right. We had to understand the codes. We have to apply, understand the codes and apply the codes. And I suggest, infer, and imply that things will be better for you. You will get some relief in some matter and totally secured in the other. But we're still captured. Don't get the game twisted. In that captivity, you can't do what you want to do, how you want to do it, and when you want to do it. And if you've been studying with us quite a long time, you would understand that. You would understand that because of the fact you would understand the other studies that we were in. The other captivities that we were in. Some things we couldn't participate in. We could worship the Most High in captivity. We didn't do Passover in captivity. I mean, yeah, we did the best we can with what we had. But our enemy was not about to give us liberty. And they still are not to be about to give us liberty. We only did those four formats, what the Most High required, in our homeland. And thus, because of these captivities, we are not home. So if you're doing, well, that's good for you. But don't mandate that somebody else has to do it because of the fact you're doing it. That's wonderful. But don't mandate someone has to do it just because you're doing it. And some things you can't do. You can't do some of the things. You can't set up no altar. You're not no Levite. So you can't set up stuff just because you want to do it. It sounds wonderful, but that don't make it right just because something sounds right. You're not no high priest. You're not no Levite. You have no authority whatsoever to be burning some on altar to the Most High. Okay? But what you can do is this. You can cry to the Most High for the mistakes we made, just like in regard to King Dawid and our ancient ones, and certainly in regards to us. You can gather yourselves together, okay? You can do good by your widow women and your orphan and your needy. You can do that. And you can simply learn to do good because you ain't doing that. That's why we can't get together for nothing. We can't get together for a picnic, a funeral, anything. Because the outcome, because we're not under code, is going to be a monstrosity. It's going to be some cussing, fussing, fighting. It's going to be some shooting. It's going to be some blue and white lights. And it's going to be some yellow fluttering tape. And you better believe it. It's just that simple. It's not hard when you're in code. But it's definitely hard when you're out of code. And definitely more so hard when you're in captivity. Praise Yah and bless His holy name. So without further ado, let me bring my friend and brother on, Brother Cottrell. Brother Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless Yah, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Brother Yam Sufari, Sister Abiyah, Sister Nisanya, and all the family that's out there. Shalom. May the Most High bless y'all. How you doing?
We're doing okay, brother. Nisanya is still taking a nap. You're getting ready for that drive in the morning. And, you know, trying to rest up, trying to get a body and mind rest up for a long drive. And I'm waiting to go back and take me a long nap. But that being said, we're fine and we're wonderful in regards to the Most High and bless His holy name. How's your family doing, Brother Cottrell, and your Esau?
We're all well. Praise Yah. May the Most High bless y'all. Sister Lasagna in a trip tomorrow. Bless and be with her.
Thank you, Brother Cottrell. And I will sure share that information with her. Praise Yah.
Yes, sir.
Cottrell? Okay, I'm waiting on you, brother.
Oh, no, I'm good. Set him out.
Okay. Okay, thank you, brother. Cottrell, you ready? About to proceed in our studies?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother. Well, everybody turn to chapter 13. Yes, 13. No, it ain't 13. It is 13.
Yeah, it is.
Amnon and Tamar. Tamar is Absalom's sister. So let's see how that, when we get together without the Most High, how everything turns out messy and monstrosity. As I just indicated, if there's no Yah in it, it's believing. After this, Absalom, the son of King David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of King David, loved her. You know, they had two different mothers, but the same daddy, these two brothers. Amnon was so distressed over his sister, Tamar, that he became sick. For she was a virgin. He had puppy love, so to speak. He didn't really love her. He just had puppy love. Ain't nobody love you because they're you beautiful all the time. Sometimes people just have puppy love against you. We'll find out. And it was improper. Anything to her. That's what his sister. We can't marry our sister. We can't have sex with our sister. But Amnon had a friend, guess what, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah. And this fella was King David's brother. That was the nephew with the mess. We always got some messy folks in the family, don't we? Now, Nadab was a very slick, crafty man. And he said to him, his cousin, why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love with this puppy love, Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. So Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, please, let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it. And then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, he loved his sons. Amnon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight that I may eat from my hand. And King David sent home to Tamar, saying, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. He was lying down. Then she took flour, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, baked the cakes, and she took the pan and placed them out before him. But he refused to eat. He wasn't hungry anyway. He had puppy love for Tamar. Then Amnon said, have everyone go out for me. And they all went out from him. Then Amnon said to his sister Tamar, bring the food into the bread room that I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now, it was quite improper, truth be told. Now, when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of it and said to her, come on, lie with me, master, let's do something, so to speak. But she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done. Even she knew that. We don't do that kind of stuff, brother and sister messing around like that. Do not do this disgraceful thing, she said. And where could I take my shame? I'm saddled with, so to speak. And as for you, you'll be like one of the fools in the field. You'll become a fool in Israel as a result of this despicable action, so to speak. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, Tamar said, for he will not withhold me from you. I mean, if it's proper and correct, so to speak. I mean, she really didn't want to do this dastardly thing. But she said, if it's proper and correct, according to Yah, our father ain't going to withhold us from me from you. However, Amnon, he would not heed her voice. And being stronger than she, he forced her. He forced himself upon his sister. And he lay with her. Did some Freaky Friday stuff. Some sick stuff. And because he didn't have real love, because somebody got real love for you, ain't going to put you in a despicable position. And the puppy love went away after he did some Freaky Friday with her. And Amnon, as a result of it, hated her exceedingly. So that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than that puppy love, than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon, as a result of it, said to her, arise, be gone. So she said to him, no, indeed. This evil of sending me away is worse than the other which he did to me. But he would not listen to her tomorrow. Then called the servant. He did a man to do his work, dirty work, who attended him and said, here, put this woman. What do you mean, woman? Your sister. You freaking pervert. Okay? What do you mean, this woman? You something wrong with you, pervert? What you mean, this woman, your sister, whom you defile, away from me, and broke the door behind her? Now, she had on a rope which all the daughters of King David wore these beautiful robes. And she had on a robe of many colors for the king's virgin daughters. All of them wore such apparel. And the servant put her out, bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head. A moment of shame, distress, and tore a robe of many colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly, because this boy had defiled his girl, his sister, this woman. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, he noticed his sister, and he put it right straight up. Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? Y'all know what that means. He did something to you. This weird joker, did he do something to you, so to speak? But now he tells his sister, okay, all right, hold your peace, my sister. Reason why? He is your brother. Do not take this thing that Absalom had hidden intentions. So Tamar remained dead. Even that being said, she remained desolate in her brother Absalom. She stayed with her brother Absalom. But she was down. She was down and she was traumatized. She was post-traumatic, raped sister traumatized by her brother traumatized. This woman. Come on now. But when King Dawid heard of these things, rightfully so, he was very angry. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon. He said nothing. He was neutral. He appeared to be neutral, but that wasn't really so. So when he spoke to him, good or bad, for Absalom, as a result of his action he did to this woman, his sister, hated Amnon, rightfully so, because he had forced his sister. He had raped his sister. And Absalom didn't forget this. Absalom murders him as a result of his action, which Yah said would bring him to the house of King Dawid as a result of the Bathsheba Uriah incident. It came to pass after two full years went back. But Absalom had sheep herders in Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim. So Absalom invited all the king's sons. Then Absalom came to the king and said, kindly note your servant, his son, has sheep herders. We doing the thing. Please let the king and the servant go with your servant. He even wanted King Dawid to see this. But King Dawid said to Absalom, no, my son, let us not all go now. Be a burden to you, because you got to feed a whole lot of mouths. Then he urged him, but the king, he would not go. And he blessed his son Absalom. He loved Absalom. Matter of fact, the king loved all his sons. But it appears to be down in the future, as we continue to say, Absalom was one of his favorites. Then Absalom said, if not, please let my brother Amnon go with us. It still appeared that he ain't got no problem with the rape of his sister. But that was a lie. And King Dawid said to him, because he's suspicious, why should he go with you? But Absalom, one of his favorites, it appears to be, urged him. So he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. He thought that would put some buffer between his sons, but that didn't. Because Absalom had righteous indignation, but he shouldn't have went that far. It was up to his father. And he should have sought the Most High before he did anything, first and foremost. Now, Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, watch now. When Amnon hardened man, when he fooled full of alcohol with wine, and when I say to you, strike Amnon, then kill him. Do not be afraid. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous, he tells me, and valiant. So the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose. And they said, oh, Lord, so to speak, like Bernie Mac, so to speak. And they saw what had transpired. Each one got on his mule, I guess, rather her. And they fled. When you get on some brother her, you ain't messing around. And they fled, going back to their dead. They were in a state of traumatization. And it came to pass, while they were on the way, the news came to King Dawid before they had arrived, saying Absalom has killed all the king's sons, which he hadn't, and not one of them is left. And tore his clothes in a state of shock and traumatization and turmoil. And he lay on the ground as a result of the news he heard. And all the servants stood by with their clothes torn. They were down with what the king was doing, rightfully so. Then Jonadab hit his slick nephew at heel, his brother, son. Jonadab, the son of Shimei, King Dawid's brother, answered with his slick self, saying, let not my lord suppose they have killed, because he knew that they had killed all the young men, because he knew the king's son, and he knew, and it was called dead, for only Amnon is dead. And by the command of Absalom, snitching, dry snitching, this has been determined. From that day, he forced his sister Tamar. He raped his sister. I therefore, did not my lord the king take the thing to heart? Come on, man, that's that man's son. Who the heck are you going to tell somebody about their own children? Your thinker broke. To think that all the king's sons are dead, even one of them. For only Amnon is like that, going to make it lighter on them. That's his child. Like I said, none of their thinker was broken. He didn't know nothing about relationships. He had no respect for relationships. Even though Amnon didn't have any respect for relationship, none of them with the mess too. His cousin. And Absalom, as a result of his action, flees to Geshur. Then Absalom, as a result of his action, fled. And a young man who was keeping watch lifted his eyes and looked. And there were many people were coming from the road to the hill beside him. And Jonadab said to the king, look, the king's sons are coming to your as your servant said. I just dry snitched on you, so to speak. So it is. So it was. As soon as he finished speaking, that the king's son indeed came. They lifted up their voice, and they were in a state of traumatization and shock. It was no fun time for them. What they had saw, what they had witnessed, and what they suspected their father would respond in this, they were all his children. And although he may have had favorites, and although Amnon may have raped his sister, his daughter, king's daughter, see, y'all go to the extreme when it comes one another. And what I'm saying by that is this. Yes, the king didn't like what Amnon did. And surely that is correct. But the love for his children didn't go away. See, we're at the law in the Western Hemisphere says to you, your son robbed a bank. Your daughter prostitute. But you want to hate on them. They steal your children at the end of the day. No matter what things they do. I'm not saying you got to justify or condone it, but at the end of the day, they steal your children. And they don't take the love away from you seeing them as a little baby. You seeing them as a young fella, a young toddler. You seeing them as a teenager. You seeing them as a young man or a young woman. Yes, he was hurt over Tamar being raped. Okay? It's rightfully so. But what he about to do? Yes, he should have saw Yah in this travesty of justice. The king, I suspect, was negligent in that. But that being said, the love don't go away for your children. As the king expressed, and as his brothers expressed, seeing their brother murder, who they know raped their sister Tamar. Okay? That's why we can't pray for one another. That's why we can't do nothing for one another. That's why we've been reduced to a monstrosity, because we love to hate one another. But he still loved his child. I think he should have went the extra mile by praying for Amnon and to make a correction with the Most High. He should have been much more attentive to Tamar's needs, because she was in a desolate condition. His sons were in a desolate condition. And they saw the murder of their brother, and they grew up together. From babies to toddlers to teenagers to young fellas, they were in a state of traumatization. And they responded as such. And so when it came to the father, King Dowd, they expressed that. Oh, Lord, like some Bernie Mac stuff, what they had witnessed. They grew up with this young fellow, Amnon. And Absalom fled and went to Talmaiah. And his son, which was the son of Amihu, the king of Geshur. And King Dawud mourned. That's still his baby. He saw as a baby. That's still his son he saw as a toddler. That's still his son he saw as a teenager. That's still his son he saw as a young man. No, he did not lack what he did to his sister, raped his sister. But that's still, at the end of the day, that's still your child. It's quick to tell somebody what they ought to do with their children. But if it ain't your child, you can't be telling nobody about their children, okay? Not unless you can have that good intent at heart and express that to the individual. And these young men, these young brothers were traumatized over what they had witnessed. They wept bitterly with their father over the death of their brother Amnon and what they had witnessed. No, I suspect they didn't justify what Amnon did no better than you do when you read it. But they still had love for Amnon, okay? Which we fail to understand. You still got to have love for folk, man, at the end of the day. And King David mourned his son because of his love for his son every day. So Absalom, his brother, fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And King David, he loved Absalom. Even though he murdered his brother, that's still his son at the end of the day. Y'all want him to hate on Absalom. Y'all want him to hate on Amnon because of what he did to Tamar. But at the end of the day, that's still his child. You always creep there and say, hey, man, I like that boy up. I like that girl up. But that ain't your son. That ain't the baby you held. That ain't the toddler you walked and you picked up. That ain't the teenager you corrected. And yes, the king should have expressed the most high commandments. The king should have corrected Amnon. The king should have let his brother know that what his son did, Amnon. And the king should have said, no, Absalom shouldn't have murdered his brother, spilled his brother's blood. The king should have put everything in perspective. So it would have been a lot easier on everybody. But the king shouldn't have not told, hey, don't love Absalom no more. Don't love Tamar, she a hoe. Don't love Amnon. He raped his sister, made her a hoe. Okay? He should have corrected everybody. He should have minimized his son's traumatization. He should have corrected Amnon and made him go to the Most High and see what the end result would have been. He should have corrected Absalom after this event, because this is going to get worse. If you don't correct people on the front end, it get worse on the back end. That's why it's correct to correct your children on the front end, because believe you me, it can get worse. If you don't correct your children, it's going to get far worse on the back end. Praise God and bless his holy name. And finally, and King David longed to go to Absalom. Comfort him concerning Amnon. He had minimized his traumatization by someone over the course of action. And because he was dead. I mean, ain't nothing like he said about that baby. When that baby died, he gone. I go to him before he come to me. It's over with. Now I love Amnon. I love Absalom. They both my boys. I love Tamar. That's my girl. He shouldn't have did that. But you got to correct people. You got to correct Amnon. You have to correct Absalom. But I'm going to show you as we study on, if you don't correct people, even though they may be very well, maybe your children, it gets far worse. Praise Yah. And what I'm saying by correction, get them on the code. You can't make them do nothing, but you can bring the code to them, and then you can pray to the Most High. Okay? You can do something instead of feeling all anguish and stressed out and traumatized over this situation. You can do something. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Cartrell, mic is hot. Shalom. Brother Cartrell, you have the mic, my brother.
All praises, Yah Su. All praises. Quite a lesson.
Yes, sir. It is. Wonderful lesson. Very important.
It's King David's oldest son.
Oh, okay. You know, I was thinking about Godfrey as I was saying, yeah, what line he was in.
The fact that Amnon is King David's oldest son, it shows why Absalom didn't put his hands on him personally. He told his servants to kill his brother. I guess right. He was afraid of Amnon because probably was bigger, stronger, and more athletic than him. And he probably didn't want his brother's blood on his hands. But for King David to correct his children, it would have meant that he would have had to put Amnon to death for raping Tamar.
Exactly.
That would have been a corrective action. And he would have had to put Absalom to death for not giving his brother Amnon a fair trial. So he would have lost two of his sons in one stroke. But
I like what you said. Corrective measures. The king didn't execute corrective measures. I like that.
Yeah, he's not just their father. He's the king of the nation. And the people are watching him, how he deals with his family. And the fact that he let his son get away with raping his daughter, That's not good judgment. That's not good leadership. And
no.
Absalom plotted to see what his father was going to do for 3 years or 2 years until he struck
right.
him. But I found it amazing that, one, people would lie to King David and tell him all his sons are dead. See how people exaggerate
right.
things? Like, come on
exactly.
now. Give the proper report. All your sons are dead. You're going to give a man a heart attack. I guess
right.
they were trying to give him a heart attack.
Exactly.
But another thing. Amnon's lust for his sister. He wanted the sex. He got the sex.
Yeah.
And then
exactly.
he hated her? How could you
right.
hate her after you had sex with her? Why? Because
that wasn't real love, brother. That was lust.
And that's all it was. And when you have intimacy with a woman, it's a spiritual thing. And you're not going to make a spiritual connection with your sister because it's not meant to be.
Definitely not.
He didn't enjoy the sex. And he knew he was in violation of moral law. And I imagine
exactly.
that men that rape women, the same hatred comes in, but it's more profound because they begin to hate women. And they don't
exactly.
know how to treat women like that. So it's a spirit
exactly.
that takes over men when they're not correct and they're dealing with women. And Amnon was dead to the wrong. He's the oldest son of King David, and he's going to rape
right.
his little baby sister. That don't
exactly.
make any damn sense.
It didn't conjure him. All them women
and
in Yaruza. And
that's what
he raped
his baby.
Right.
His cousin. What was his name? His cousin, man?
Jonadab. Jonadab. Jonadab.
He's too busy for himself. He's too busy. He should have advised Amnon not to mess with his sister, but all the five sisters in the nation of Israel. He could have took him on a tour. Yo, let's go, you know, find some fine sisters, you know, to hook you up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know you're feeling lonely. You're so lonely, you're looking
right.
at your sister. And that's not good.
Exactly.
You're
like
so lonely, brother. You're looking at your sister. Let me take you out. Show you some five foxy sisters that might take your
right.
attention away from your sister. Because there's
exactly.
sisters out there that's badder than your sister, bro. You just ain't getting around.
Exactly. Exactly. And you could have been in code.
That's what he should have been. Huh?
Right. You could have been in code.
He could have had the pick of the litter. He's the king's son. He's the firstborn.
Right.
He's the crown prince.
Right.
He could have had the selection of
right.
any woman in the nation that he wanted. But he looking at his sister.
Exactly.
Come on, man.
Exactly.
And then he didn't like her
he's
after he got it. He hated her after he got it. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
And what's she supposed to do?
Exactly.
What's she supposed to do? Her own brother violated
right.
her. And
she
gave him the code. She's like, nah, this ain't no good. You're going to look like a fool, and you're going to shame me.
Right.
That's exactly what happened.
Exactly.
King David brought it on himself when he went with Bathsheba.
Exactly.
It affected his children.
Exactly.
Because that's they haywire right now.
But you know, Cottrell, too, we told, I suspect, even now as we speak, that the things we do affects our children and our households. It's true. Good or bad, it's true.
That's why we need to know these stories, our history. Because
exactly.
it gives a spiritual side that we definitely don't see today.
Exactly. Praise y'all, Brother Cottrell. Praise y'all. That's his holy name. Brother Cottrell, thank you very much, brother. I appreciate you breaking that down for them like they 4 years old. Thank you very much. Fellow students, Brother Cottrell is about to proceed to the last segment of study today, which is in the 44th chapter of Yeshayahu. No, y'all call it Isaiah. That's not his name. His name is Yeshayahu. Praise Yah. And it goes as Yah's blessing on Yisrael. Yah's blessing, not the government blessing, not the president blessing, not the Senate blessing, not the Congress blessing, not your mayor, local mayor blessing. Yah's blessing on us. Praise Yah. Chapter 44.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as we read yesterday, the Most High is our Redeemer, which means
exactly.
He looks at himself as our kinsman. He's going to save us from our troubles and deliver us from our distress.
Praise
and
God.
The title of this chapter is what?
Say it again, my brother.
What's the title
it
of your
reads,
book?
Yah's blessing on Israel.
Yah's blessing on Israel. My book says, Israel is Yah's chosen.
Praise Yah.
That's one
bless his holy name. Praise Yah. Bless his holy name as a result of that.
Praise Yah. Here's what the prophet Yeshua has to say by way of the word of Yah. But now hear, O Yah, quote my servant, Yisrael, whom I have chosen. Thus saith Yah, who made you, who formed you from the womb, and will help you. So it makes you realize that all of us were created before the Most High placed us in our mother's womb. So each one of us has a purpose
exactly.
to serve Yah.
Fear
exactly. not. Oh, Yah, quote, my servant. We are meant to be servants of Yah. Yishurum, whom I have chosen. It's Yah's choice. We didn't choose him. He chose us. For I will
Praise
pour
Yah.
Water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. That's what we're waiting for, the spirit of Yah to come upon us. They shall spring up among the grass, like willows by flowering streams. This one will say, I am Yah's. Another will call on the name of Yahweh. And another will write on his hand, Yah's, Yah's, and name himself by the name of Yisrael. And we've begun to do that now. After we've lost
exactly.
our name, language, culture, identity, history, and the knowledge of who we are, we're not Smith, Johnson, and Williams no more. We Kachiel and Yosef and Yisrael, Yam Suf Ari, and so on and so forth. We done changed our name to Yisrael once again. Praise Yah.
Well, you know, Kachiel, and fellow student, I was explaining to the wife that it may sound like it's different names, but Yam Suf Ari is like Yehoshaphat. Okay? It's not a breakdown. It's a continuation of one name, Yam Suf Ari. It is not a like a middle ending, a last name. It's one name. Yam Suf Ari. Thank you, Brother Kachiel.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Thus saith Yah, the King of Israel. Who is the King? Yah. And his Redeemer, Yah of hosts. Yah is not only our King, but he's the master of everything that he's created. He says, I'm the first and I'm the last. Besides me, there is no God. He didn't say, I'm the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, that's not how it works.
No.
Besides me, there is no God. He said, who is like me? Let him proclaim it. I don't hear the Son stepping up saying, I'm like you, God. Let me declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare what's to come and what will happen. Fear not. Nor be afraid. Have I not told you from old and declared it? And are you my witnesses? Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. So Yah has made us his witness, and we bear witness that everything Yah said would happen to us. It must definitely
bear witness.
Has happened and is happening. All who fashion idols are nothing. They go all the religions of the world. And the things they delight in do not profit. Their witnesses do not neither see or know that they may be put to shame. Who fashions a god or casts an idol that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his companions shall be put to shame, and the craftsmen are only human. Let them all assemble. Let them stand for. They shall be terrified. They shall be put to shame together. The ironsmith takes the cutting tool and works it over the coals. He fashions it with hammers and works it with his strong arm. He becomes hungry, and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches a line. He marks it out with a pencil. He shapes it with planes and marks it with a compass. He shapes it into the figure of a man, with the beauty of a man to dwell in the house. He cuts down cedars, or he chooses a cypress tree or an oak and lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar in the rain and nourishes it. Then it becomes fuel for a man. He takes part of it and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. Also, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it an idol and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in a fire. Over the half, he eats meat. He roasts it and is satisfied. He also warms himself and says, aha, I am warm. I've seen the fire. And the rest of it he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. They know not, nor do they discern. For he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. No one considers, nor is there knowledge nor discernment to say, half of it I burned in the fire, I also baked bread on its coals. I roasted meat and have eaten. And shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before the block of wood? He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart has led him astray. He cannot deliver himself or say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember these things, O Yaakov and Yisrael, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant, O Yisrael. You will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions as a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And it's a past tense. We know what redeem means because we went through it yesterday. It's already done. Sing, O heavens, for Yah has done it. It's already done. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forests, and every tree in it. I didn't know that the heavens could sing, or that the depths of the earth could sing, or mountains could sing, or forests, and every tree in it can sing. And we haven't seen that wonder yet. I know they make cartoons, and even The Wizard of Oz, they had the trees talking and singing. But this is where they get it from. One day we will see these things sing. Let's say Yah, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am Yah, who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens and spread out the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of liars and make fools of diviners, who turn wise men back and make their knowledge foolish, who confirms the word of his servant and fulfills the counsel of his messengers, the prophets, who say of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and the cities of Yehuda, they shall be built, and I will raise up their ruins, who says to the deep, be dry, I will dry up your rivers, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall fulfill all my purpose, which he did, saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple, listen to this, your foundation shall be laid. So the temple's already there. It's just the foundation that has to be laid. This is like verification of what I've been saying. When Yah took Ezekiel, led him by an angel through the temple, that temple's already built. It's up to us to build the foundation when we get there. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. Hallelujah. Y'all too far? Are you still on the air? I guess they cut us off. Y'all too, can you hear me? Shalom.
Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2. It appears that they're playing tricks or whatever as far as the radio station is concerned. Maybe someone is jamming the station. Nevertheless, may the Most High curse them. They curse us. And I hope you hear me too. Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2. Let's see if I turn it off and turn it back on. Okay. Let's see, can you get back on, Katria? See, can we close that property? Okay. All right, hang up for me, Katria, and just see, can we close that properly? Okay? May the Most High bless you, brother. Shalom.
Most High bless you, too.
Shalom, brother. Testing, 1, 2. Trying to see, can Brother Cartrell get back up? There he is. Brother Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother, so we can close this out properly. Can you read me?
Slow, slow. Okay. I'm here.
Yeah.
Praise
wonderful. Do me a favor. Will you go back to verse 17 and so we can close out properly? Thank you, brother.
Verse 17.
We'll pause. Verse 17. That's when I stopped hearing it.
And the rest of it, he makes into God, his idol, support him down. He worships it. He prays to it, says, deliver me up, for you are my God. They do not know, nor do they discern. For he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. No one considers. Nor is there any knowledge or discernment to say half of it he burned in the fire. I also baked bread on his coals. I roasted meat and have eaten. Shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I pour it down before a block of wood? He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart has led him astray. And he cannot deliver himself or say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember these things, O Yaakov and Yisrael, for you are my servants. I formed you, and you are my servant, O Yisrael. You will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And it didn't require a sacrifice on the cross or anything like that. Sing, O heavens, for Yah has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O ye mountains, O forests, and every tree in it, for Yah has redeemed Yaakov, and will glorify in will be glorified in Yisrael. So two things at one time. We already been redeemed, and Yah will be glorified. So that's kind of like past and future at the same time. Thus says Yah, your redeemer, formed you from the womb. I am Yah who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens. Who spread out the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of liars and makes fools of diviners, who turns wise men back and makes their knowledge foolish, as we see with the Republican Party and all these leaders who try to run these governments.
Mm-hmm.
He confirms the word of his servants and fulfills the counsel of his messengers. In other words, the words of the prophets are coming true. Who says of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Yehuda, they shall be built, and I will raise up their ruins. Who say to the deep, be dry, I will dry up your rivers. Who say of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall fulfill all my purpose. which he did in the time of the prophet Yeshayahu, saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, which they trying to supersede, and they try to jump the gun and make Jerusalem the capital of Israel today. But Yah's talking about the future of Jerusalem. And
exactly.
The temple, which has not been established yet, it says your foundation shall be laid. So it doesn't say the temple will be built. It says the foundation of the temple will be laid. And the book of Isaiah, you know, made me aware that he was taking a tour of the temple that's somewhere. And it's up to us to build a foundation for it to be planted on.
Exactly.
Praise God.
It's prefab temple by the Most High. Praise God. We wanted y'all to get the full picture of these studies. And verse 17, it knocked it out. I couldn't hear my brother. So I felt it was incumbent upon us to try to come back and try to explain out the details as far as y'all is concerned. It didn't say nothing about no Jesus. It didn't say nothing about no Buddha. It didn't say nothing about no whatever you believe in. He said about your idols are futile, but made by the hands of men, will not serve your interests and our purposes. Y'all say, I am what it is. I am what it's about, so to speak. I am what I am. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Cottrell, any closing remarks in the comments?
Yes, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to our Creator, our Redeemer, our Maker, our King, who formed us before he put us in our mother's womb. We ask that his words that we share tonight go into the hearts and minds of the people that are listening, and that the words that we read be beneficial to us, because our future is great. And we love Yah for the things that he's promising us and our people, our nation, and the world. We pray that we see these things transpire in our time. Love Yah.
Praise God.
Shalom and good night.
As my brother said, we love y'all. Shalom and good night. And praise Yah.
plan.